Welcome back to another episode of our podcast. Today we have Ray Fambro dialing in from Brooklyn, New York. Ray is a former architectural designer turned product manager, currently working on the desktop client team at Mozilla. During his time at the architectural space, he's designed 750 square feet of WeWork space and nearly a million square feet of Facebook workplace. And he uses the same logic of creating physical experiences to creation of digital experiences. Ray also volunteers as the Eastern Regional President of the Black Product Managers Network, which is an organization committed to providing skill acquisition, growth opportunities, and community to current and aspiring Black product managers. Ray, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jenny. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show. We're really excited. And as with all of our episodes, we're going to start off with a quick round of rapid fire questions. Ray, are you ready?
I am ready. Shoot away.
Awesome. Let's go. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Southeast Missouri in a town about an hour and a half southeast of St. Louis. It's called Cape Girardeau.
Okay, awesome. So you're from the Midwest. And where are you now?
Relocated to Brooklyn, New York. I've been here for about a year and a half now.
Awesome. Brooklyn, New York. How's that like?
It's awesome. I love it here. I actually moved here from the West Coast recently during the pandemic. So definitely a cultural change, but it's an experience that I'm loving so far.
Awesome. Glad you're loving it. What's the book that you think everyone should read?
You know what? I'll go with The Alchemist on this one by Paulo Coelho. I think this book just tells a really rich story about manifesting one's destiny in life. And I really love the abstract nature that they deliver this message in. And yeah, I recommend that anyone read this book if they haven't.
I'm so big on like manifesting your destiny. So I'm definitely going to read it. It's been sitting on my bookshelf, but I have not gotten to it yet. So what is one app you cannot live without?
You know what? Nowadays, I'm probably going to say Google Maps. And this is mainly because I'm a recent transplant to New York and it is tough navigating the subway system. So yeah, I find myself using that app several times a day, pretty much every day.
Gotcha. I thought you were going to say Firefox, but Google Maps. All right. And what do you think is the best invention of all time?
This is a really tough one. I like to sort of categorize these kinds of questions into themes. So high level, I'm thinking anything around the transportation realm, anything in the communication realm. So phones, the internet, airplanes, cars. I guess if I had to choose one, I'll go with the internet.
Okay, internet, that's a common answer. You almost had a transportation theme happening with the Google Maps and then the transportation, but all right, internet is is the best invention of all time. What's your all-time favorite accomplishment?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go recent on this one. I'm going to say moving cross-country from California to New York is probably something that I'm most proud of. I didn't have a concrete plan. It was something that I always sort of dreamed of as a possible aspiration. And yeah, I manifested it into reality. I guess this is sort of drawing back to paying an ode to the alchemist, if you will.
That's amazing. And yeah, it's such a big risk if you don't have any plans and you know, you're like, okay, I'm just going to go here. And I'm so glad that you're able to do that and found success in following your dreams. What's the biggest challenge you're working on right now?
Biggest challenge? I would definitely say navigating a new career path. As you hinted at this earlier, Jenny, I spent about 13 years of my career in the architectural space. And making this decision to pivot into something completely new and different comes with a lot of learning and unlearning, I guess, at the same time. So definitely a challenging process, but a rewarding process at the same time. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, let's dive right into that, because you mentioned you've been in the architectural space for nearly 13 years. That's a long time for a career, and having to go from that to now you're in a whole new field. So why did you choose to come over to the dark side? Just kidding. but yeah, after 13 years of architecture, what got you into tech?
So I was ready to solve larger scale problems. I feel like architecture can be very prescriptive in nature. Once you sort of master or figure out a way that things work, you essentially sort of stay on that path because it comes along with a level of efficiency, a level of comfort, a level of ease. But I constantly would ask myself this question why not challenge the status quo? As humans, we're constantly evolving over time. We don't live the same way. We don't work the same way. We don't exist in the same way that we did, 100 years ago. So not to say that architecture hasn't evolved or isn't evolving, but I do think it's at a slower pace than many other industries. And that's very warranted. I think it's very expensive to sort of explore new concepts. But the really interesting thing about the digital space is that it's very cheap and inexpensive to explore new concepts. And you can quickly test things and iterate ideas at the blink of an eye. So that was something that was really intriguing for me and ultimately led to my transition.
Sure. So you were looking to create new concepts. You don't have to go build a whole building to try out a new concept with digital. You can just mock up something on the screen and have something shipped out right away. So that's what you're mostly interested in.
Exactly.
And how would you say that your background in architecture, if it did, translate over to the work that you're currently doing?
Yeah, I actually think it translates relatively well. I think in a very human-centric way, and I would, I was wired that way through my education and experience in architecture. Just asking the right questions, surfacing the right conversations, doing whatever I can to get down to the crux of any given problem, and identifying any opportunity gaps that may exist. And this can happen in both physical space and in digital space. Another sort of overarching concept is leading by influence. I think this is something that you hear a lot in the product world. As a product manager, you don't necessarily have direct reports, but the team ultimately looks to you as their leader to help push forward any given strategy, any given idea. This same sort of infrastructure is there and present in architecture as well. So I was able to sort of context switch relatively easily with sort of keeping that top of mind.
Gotcha. That's really interesting that like architecture is also pretty human centric, because I think people who are outside of that world, they just think that architects go in and they're just constructing something cool and then the building is built, right? So you're essentially doing the equivalent of user testing while you're an architect as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a form of user testing. And I would say I would even go in the direction of user research, because there's a lot of research that happens on the front end before you actually get into the construction phasing process, even the design process. We spend a lot of time getting to know our clients, our developers, understanding the desired program, understanding what kind of constraints might exist on a given site, even nature, like maybe there's a climate restriction that we need to consider. So considering all of these things up front and again, asking the right questions and sort of getting ahead of potential problems is very similar to what I do now in the software world.
Gotcha. And touching upon what you mentioned earlier, which is, being an influence for your team, Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, what does it mean for you as a product manager to influence your team and getting them focused to get to the end goal?
Yeah, I think this is something that manifests in many different ways. And as a newer product manager, I'm actually still developing a best practice approach for myself. But one thing that I feel pretty rooted in, at least as of now, is being able to be very crisp on delivering a vision. I find that, you know, when you want to get buy-in from team members, or even if you just, you know, need to maintain influence on a given direction, in order not to derail people and in order to not lose their confidence, you have to be very clear on, you know, what the end goal is, what the vision is, what are we laddering up to, what problems are we trying to solve? And the more you can sort of communicate that and communicate that in a clear way, in a very honest and open way, I think that's where you want to be.
Right, right. And that's the essential goal, right? As a product manager, you're taking the bigger vision and being able to communicate that to your team. Is there a particular method that you can share with us on, like, how are you able to stay crisp on that communication?
Yeah, I would say redundancy or repetitiveness is one form factor you can take forward on that. You'd be surprised at how often you might think people are listening when they're not. So yeah, any opportunity you can take to restate things and in different forums, the more helpful it is. Yeah, and another way I sort of approach this kind of a thing is by, you know, encouraging inclusiveness. The more people feel invited to dialogue, and the more people feel that their ideas and suggestions are being considered and heard, I think the more fruitful those conversations become. Sometimes you even, you know, develop a new idea or a new concept that, you know, maybe you didn't start with. And sometimes you don't, but I think just giving rope for folks to sort of feel involved and collaborative in the environment is an ineffective way, I think, to maintain overall project health.
Of course. And that's what collaboration is about, right? Is just making sure that you have that voice, you have the different voices in the conversation. It's great to have that in a collaborative team effort, to have different voices in a conversation. But then when do you start to put guardrails in those conversations? Because if you have too many voices, you can often lose focus, right? And as you mentioned, you want to make sure that you have crisp communication in getting to the end goal. So what's the right balance between let's have people in the conversation to, okay, now we got to stay focused in this is what we're delivering?
Yeah, that's a very real concern. And I think there's different ways to approach that. But for me, this sort of goes back again to really leveraging that overarching mission or overarching goal. Once that's clarified and sort of aligned upon by the rest of the team and the greater organization, you can always lean on that to sort of be your grounding basis for a given direction or a given decision. And then also just sort of, you know, agree to disagree. We call it disagree and commit. Sometimes that's going to be the scenario that you're in. Not everyone is going to always be aligned with a given approach or a given method, but it's my job to, you know, offer, you know, the best defense I can and to just encourage trust within the rest of my team so that they essentially can know that they can count on me to make the right decision. Or the best decision, I guess, for the specific scenario. I shouldn't say there's a right decision, because there's all kinds of options and paths that one could go or one could take. But, you know, we make a decision, we align on it, and we learn from it. We can always iterate if we later find out that it wasn't the best decision.
Yeah, of course. And that's when you know you have such a good team, is when you can disagree on a decision, but all commit, as you say, disagree and commit to that decision you've made. Because a lot of times a dysfunctional team, what ends up happening is you're disagreeing and you're kind of committed to a decision, but then you have people that are off doing other things. Like, you can disagree and just say, all right, well, I don't know if it's going to work, but we all got to try it anyways. And I think that's what makes such a great team. So I'm glad you brought that up, actually. And just jumping over to your involvement as the president of the Eastern chapter of the Black Product Manager, I think the audience would love to learn a little bit more. Tell us more about this organization.
Yeah. So I'm so excited to be a part of this community, of this organization. The Black Product Managers Network originally started back in 2017. And it really began as a super small, close-knit group of friends. I think there was about four people that essentially gathered together in a backyard barbecue. Four Black PMs, they were all working at FANG companies, but really started having these deeper level conversations around their concerns of disparity in the space. You know, they were maybe one of two or one of three Black PMs at their respective companies, and not only bring awareness to the product management role, but to also provide a sense of power and you know, what that role actually means. A lot of folks just don't have the access to the education around, you know, not only the tech space, but, you know, product in general. It's a question for many people, but when you really think about it, everything we engage with, everything we use in our day-to-day lives is a form of a product. Somebody actually had to ideate that. Someone had to think about the best way to manifest that, whether that be in the physical or digital form. So there's a lot of power in that. And I think it's important for us to introduce diversity in those decision-making rooms to actually be able to trigger some of the directions that we take these products. And then another thing to add there, typically the trajectory for product managers is a very high ceiling. Many of them become founders, entrepreneurs, VCs, you know, really successful folks. So I think it's important for us to diversify this industry as much as we can. Talking a little bit more about the organization in general and how it grew, like I said, started with four people, exponentially grew to where we are now. We're about 2,000 or so members globally. Because we've grown so big so rapidly, we've decided to start focusing on creating sort of micro communities in different parts of the world. So we have three regions in the United States, one of which I'm actually the president of, the Eastern region. We also have a region in Europe, and we have a region in Africa. And from a vision perspective, at a high level, our hope is that we can actually realize, actually exceed Black representation and product, to exceed that of Black representation in the United States. So to give context around that, about 13% of the United States is Black. We'd like to see 13% of people in product also be Black. So that's our standing goal. Don't quote me on this. I think it's hovering around 4% now. It might even be lower than that. But with programs such as this one and organizations such as this one, we really hope to be a big contributor to making a change there.
Yeah, I mean, wow, with already 2,000 members, that is quite a change that you guys are making. And I love what you said earlier, which that, you know, building product and building architecture, building product and building physical spaces, there's a lot of power in that. And we, at least for me, I never even thought about that being such a powerful thing. Like, we're building something and then handing it off to the world to interact with. So yeah, I think that there's big kudos in thinking in that way. And just going back to what you mentioned about the organization, yeah, like, so what kind of resources are available to your members?
So when one becomes a member of the network, they have access to a community of 2,000 folks and counting. These folks range anywhere from aspiring product managers to, you know, early career PMs, all the way to, you know, C-suite level execs. One thing I'm really excited about is this flagship program that we developed last year. It's called Level Up. We had about 8 sponsors participate in last year's program. And essentially, we're working with corporate level sponsors, some of which are FANG companies that really come in and help, you know, give us the tools and give us the resources and information to set up Black PMs for success. So that comes in the form of, from a larger organizational perspective, that comes in the form of courses. Many of our Black PMs have developed courses. One of my favorites is one around negotiation. That's a topic, that many folks struggle with. And there's not necessarily a guidebook on, you know, how do you negotiate an offer when you actually get one. We offer resources and training for mock interview preparation. We do resume reviews. We host panels and identify product leaders in the industry to come and talk to our community. And most importantly, we offer opportunities for the community to just get together and meet one another. Sometimes just having those you know, organic conversations and connection points you know, are even more powerful than, you know, some of the more tangible tools and resources that we have to offer. So yeah, super excited with the direction that the organization has gone thus far.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, all those resources that you're offering, I think for anyone, I think those are really invaluable. So as the president of the Eastern chapter, like what is your involvement look like there?
Yeah, so we've set forth a series of goals for our region. I don't know if I stated this before, but this is sort of the inaugural leadership team as well. We just this year segmented out into 5 different regions. So my leadership team consists of myself. There's a vice president. We have an events chair. We also have a membership and comms chair. Essentially, we have set ourselves up to serve our community of folks. So specifically in the Eastern region, we're hovering around, really, I think we're hovering around 1,000 or so folks. Are the largest region actually in the network. So we're really excited to sort of hang our hats on that.
Yeah, you're holding down the fort.
yeah, for sure. But yeah, so we're essentially setting up ourselves to meet a series of different metrics. We have a numeric goal that we have in mind to get people promoted within our region. So we're offering events, we're offering panels. We've even put together sort of a toolkit or a toolbook, I guess you could say, for our members to actually level up. We also have goals to connect people and give them mentors. This is something that has surfaced recently within the region as well. Again, we have members from all different levels within the field. So depending on where you are, you may benefit from different things than maybe someone else might. So we've definitely kept that in mind. And I would say most importantly, one of the, I guess, most insightful things we did, or most revealing things that we did, was at the very beginning of our formation. We did a kickoff call, we introduced ourselves, and we surfaced a survey, a survey of questions, in order to get a better understanding of the needs of our particular region. Again, we've developed all of these micro communities now, and, you know, instead of looking at this from like a one holistic approach, we decided to really dive in deep and develop these very intimate connections with our members. So we have a really granular understanding of what it is our members want in our specific region. So that was really amazing to see. We saw people asked for mentorship services. We saw people asking for more opportunities just to connect in person. We saw people asking for advice on how to get promoted at their companies. So all of these things are things that we've considered as we develop and continue to develop our blueprint.
Sure. And do you think those needs are more particular to the Black product managers, or is that just product managers in general?
Yeah, it's definitely, there are definitely needs for product managers in general. What I'm motivated by from a personal perspective, which is why I'm also dedicated to this network, is providing access that just isn't necessarily there for Black people. And we can see this across the board in many different industries. We've seen it historically play out through history as well. But it's a common theme for Black and Brown folks to not have the same level of access and awareness as other groups might have. So dedicating myself to providing these resources to this community is just really important for me. And I feel like it's one of my life's missions. I am committed to helping people holistically, but even more specifically, helping people that look like me.
I love that. I love that you're really committed to this mission and providing the resources to other Black product managers. And I guess, this might be an obvious question, but what are the requirements to joining? Like, do you have to be Black to join Black product manager organization, or can someone like me join as well?
Yeah, so the requirements aren't super hard-lined. I would say that we do appreciate when Black people specifically apply. With that being said, we do have several members of the community that aren't Black, but usually they come in the form of allyship. Mm. So many product leaders across the industry, for example, come into our space and help with some of our educational initiatives. Some of them have been brought in the form of sponsorship. Some of them have even been brought in the form of skill building. So interview coaching, for example. Yeah, so we definitely did not create the network to be exclusive by any means. But I think it's sort of become this safe space for Black and for Black product managers and aspiring product managers. And it's something that we really value intrinsically in terms of, the mission that we've set for ourselves.
Gotcha. I love that. I love that it's not exclusive just for the Black product managers, because it's all about inclusion, right? So it's, how can you include other members of the community as well to be part of this organization? So I know you've only been in product for the last around 2 years, but would you say that you've seen diversity in the tech community grow?
Yeah, I definitely have. And I don't actually have any hard numbers to reference here. But anecdotally, I've definitely seen a change. Even if I were to speak to my organization in itself at Mozilla, I've definitely noticed an uptick in diversity hires. So really happy to see that. I think just across the board, I obviously have a closer sort of lens on what's happening in the Black Product Managers Network because I'm, working so closely there. But yeah, just even seeing how much our network has grown how many people come in. We do monthly cohorts and just seeing the influx of folks coming in is just super encouraging and inspirational to me. We have a channel within our community where we actually share successes amongst one another when folks actually land new jobs or get promoted. And yeah, just seeing how many folks are reporting that they were able to get job offers and to get promotions has been really inspirational. So I definitely have seen a change, even if it's just an anecdotal change.
Yeah, I love the fact that you guys have a channel to share success stories because I think this is going to help inspire other people and to achieve more. And it shows the impact of this organization. So before we close this out, is there anything else that you want to share with the audience about the Black Product Manager community?
Sure. Yeah, I wanted to touch on something that I didn't make mention of earlier. Sort of talked about the global organization's, mission and values, but I wanted to plug in the Eastern Regional specific mission as well. And essentially, we're aiming to deliver material impact by helping our members establish relationships within the community, receive support with resumes, interview skill development, and ultimately, we want to help people obtain a promotion or a job offer. Where you can find us. You can find us at blackproductmanagersnetwork.com. You can learn a little bit more about the community there. You can also apply to become a member there. We're also on social media, on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. If you have more questions that I did not cover in this forum, you can also feel free to hit me up as well. So yeah, excited for anybody that wants to join.
That's awesome. I really hope you get a few new members coming your way after this episode. And I guess my last question is, you have all these resources now that's been available to you. So knowing what you know, what would be your advice to yourself at the start of your career?
That's a really good question. I oftentimes think about this, and it's easy for me to say that, well, if I knew what I knew, what I know now at an earlier time in life, I might have taken a different trajectory with my career path. Maybe in school, I would have looked into majoring in computer science or something like that. But honestly, when I play everything through, I'm actually very content with the path that I took. I think me studying architecture and spending so much time in that space in different capacities really set me up in the perfect way, I think, to be prepared to transition into something new. I would, with that being said, if I did give my younger self any advice, I would definitely say to remain curious, to be inquisitive and ask the right questions. I think, it's important to never stop learning.
Yeah, I love that. And you exemplify, you're like the perfect example of better late than never. You made a career switch after 13 years of being in architecture and starting new in tech, but you seem to love it and enjoying what you're doing right now. So, for anyone else who is making this transition, going from architecture to product management or going into tech, what advice would you give those who are interested in that?
Yeah, I would definitely say first and foremost, leverage your network. That was one of the things that I will say set me up the best for success in making that transition. So start there. Start with folks that are already in your network, maybe in your friend circles that might be working in the tech industry. Be very intentional about their time. So if you set up coffee chats or Zoom calls, definitely have very directed questions, very specific asks, if you will. It might not be super productive in the first encounter to ask for like a referral or a job opportunity, but just surfacing those discussions and expressing your curiosity is great. People love to talk about themselves, so even just asking them questions about what they do, people generally receive really well. I would also say, do as much self-education as you can. There's all sorts of options out there. There's, certificate programs and boot camps and all sorts of things. I won't necessarily recommend that that is the path for everyone. It's definitely not a requirement, but tons of free resources as well out there to leverage. So even if that means, you know, even reading a book on product management, reading a book on design, you know, reading up on some of the really transition or transformational product organizations, companies like Apple, Google, you know, Facebook, you know, read up on their stories and dig deep into, you know, what those founders sort of did to, you know, create what they did. Yeah. And I think just the last thing I guess I'll leave everyone here with is to not lose motivation. I think it can be very easy to become discouraged. Mm. It took me over 2 years to make my transition. You know, this is a very competitive space. A lot of people are interested in this space. So yeah, being able to tell your story in your own unique way into, yeah, be able to clearly sort of tie your transferable skills into your narrative, into your story is also going to serve you well.
I love that. I think that's such a great way to close out our conversation. So for anyone who is interested in making a career transition, as Ray said, you know, one, leverage your network, to stay curious and be focused in the conversation and focused in your ask when you're meeting with your network. Take leverage of free resources. I think we often forget that there are so many free resources out there on YouTube, on, you know, Coursera, Udemy, and et cetera. And yeah, as he said, don't be discouraged. Sometimes things take longer than what we had anticipated, but if it's something that you truly desire, and going back to your alchemist reference, if you want to, you can manifest the life you want by just staying focused in your goals and just chipping away at it every single day. So, Ray, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to share with our audience before we close out?
I just want to say thank you so much for having me today, Jenny. It's been a pleasure chatting with you and just sharing my journey and my experience. And yeah, I look forward to being able to help others along their journeys as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And if anyone is interested in learning more about transitioning career, Black Product Manager, or just getting in touch with you, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, I would say the best way to reach me would be on LinkedIn. You can find me there. The name is Ray Fambro.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Ray. Stay tuned, guys, for more episodes on design, product management, and innovation. And remember to experience, educate, and grow to live your best life. I'm your host, Jenny, and I will see you guys next time.